Bob lay on the ground, clutching at his abdomen. His eyes looked unfocused and his face was pale. Anya knelt next to him.
What happened to him, Gregor?
He caught one of the bullets Yuri fired before I was able to kill him.
Is there anything you can do?
I'll give you two a moment.
Anya stared down at Bob. His hands were a deep crimson as his blood drained out of him. Anya's eyes felt hot. She blinked hard. He tried to smile.
Yeah. Some dig, huh?
You're going to be fine. Just hang on.
Don't. I've seen enough of the military channel to know this is it.
Don't say that.
And just 2 days ago, I was worried you might be close to death. Funny how fast things change, huh?
Gregor, please help.
There's nothing he can do for me now. He already tried to stop the bleeding. The bullet went too deep and high. I'm shredded on the inside.
Is there anything I can do for you?
When you get back, make sure they do something about this area. I'd like people to know the stories about our adventures here. It's a small thing, but maybe someone will enjoy reading about what we did. What we tried to do.
You've got it.
There's a safe deposit box at a bank in Geneva. It's got my will in it. Can you make sure it gets to my family? My important documents are with my things. Back at the hotel.
I promise.
Never knew it was gonna end for me. Guess I always thought, well, it was never like this.
I'm sorry, Anya.
He was a dear friend.
And a good man.
Is Yuri dead?
Very.
Good.
Anya stood and bowed her head. She thought about the good times she and Bob had had in the past and prayed that he would find a wonderful home in whatever paradise he chose. When she lifted her head, she saw that Gregor had bowed his head as well. At his side hung Yuri's AK-47.
Thank you, Gregor.
For what?
Helping him.
There wasn't anything I could do to save him. The bullet...
I know, but thank you anyway.
We should get going. We'll need to organize a team to get up here and recover the bodies. He shouldn't be left like this.
So we'll head back to the town?
Yes.
Gregor pulled Anya down to the floor of the cave, his hand already starting to cover her mouth. Anya felt his body heat as they huddled together behind an outcropping. Farther ahead, she thought she could see a shadowy form skulking through the cave. Maybe this was the Hosadam she'd heard so much about, the supernatural demigoddess who ate people's souls. She strained her eyes to look.
Gregor? Is it gone?
Gregor released his hold on Anya, then shot her a look that told her not to make any noise. Slowly, he rose to a slight crouch. He lifted himself so he could peer over the outcropping they'd taken cover under, then knelt back down beside her.
It appears to have gone.
Is it safe to get out of here?
I don't know. It could come back at any time.
We can't stay here.
Anya's eyes wandered back to Bob's body. There was no way she would ever leave him to rot on the floor of this cave. Gregor seemed to follow her gaze, and he nodded. Gregor rose again, taking Anya by the hand and pulling her up along behind him. They moved slowly, knowing that if they moved too fast, they'd risk drawing the attention of whatever they'd just seen. Anya's thighs screamed as the slow, low crouch took its toll on her already exhausted body. She closed her eyes briefly and pictured the sword. As soon as she did so, a slight surge of energy filled her body.
Gregor!
Anya!
Something slammed into Anya, knocking her back and away. It felt as if a giant forearm had clotheslined her. She toppled back against the stones and immediately felt the rush of a giant form moving past her.
Anya! Anya!
Anya tried to get to her feet, but she was dazed. She felt the back of her head, and her hand came away sticky. She could smell the coppery blood on her fingers.
Gregor!
Anya put her foot out in the direction of the cave exit, but failed to make contact with anything. She felt the drop in her stomach as she was suddenly airborne. Anya's vision swam, her head clouded. She felt nauseous. Darkness seemed to wash over her like a wave. Anya felt awful as she came to. For the second time in only a few days, she was sure she'd suffered a concussion. If this kept up, she'd need brain surgery to relieve all the pressure in her head. Anya eased herself into a sitting position. Her head ached and her stomach lurched horribly in protest. She wanted to vomit. She wasn't sure where she'd fallen, but it seemed she wasn't in the upper part of the cave anymore. She couldn't be sure without light, and since she had none, she'd have to fumble her way along through the darkness. She tried to get her bearings. The last thing she could remember was a huge form moving past her. The gunfire. Gregor shouting. She frowned. Gregor. Where was he now? Anya's hands palmed the cold, rough rocks around her, her fingers eventually finding sufficient purchase to support her weight as she tried to stand.
Oh.
Her knees almost buckled, but she managed to reach her feet. She closed her eyes. The last thing she wanted to do was move again. She just wanted to curl up into a ball and fall fast asleep. But she knew that would probably mean death. And if Gregor was still alive, he might be searching for her. He could just as easily be dead too, she reminded herself. Especially if Hosadam got its hands on him. She had to find out for sure. And she had to make her way back to the cave entrance to get help. Now that it seemed pretty definite that this was where Hosadam, or whatever it was, hung out, maybe she could mount an assault with the villagers helping her. Surely some of them would own firearms, and they'd be able to storm the cave and kill this thing. Suddenly, she felt a twinge of guilt and confusion. It wasn't like Anya to want to kill something she knew nothing about. And Bob had made her promise to let others know about this place. In order to do so, she'd have to find out just what exactly this Hosadam thing was, if it was something supernatural at all.
Oh, I've got to get out of here.
Anya turned and started moving her hands along the wall, searching for anything that might help her. As she moved around, she could tell she'd fallen into an almost circular pit that was much too deep to try to climb out of. Anya wasn't sure she had the strength to do so, and the walls of the pit didn't seem to have enough handholds anyway. She needed something else. Anya held her broadsword, hands extended toward the lip of the pit. She plunged the sword into the cave wall as high above her head as she could reach. There was still a vague pain in her head, but she shut it out and concentrated instead on pulling herself up. Her fingers ached, but she was able to climb the wall carefully using handholds and the sword. Anya got one hand up and over the edge of the pit. Anya lay on the floor, trying to flush more oxygen back into her system. She willed the sword back to the otherwhere. Regaining her composure, she rolled to her feet. She tried to make a mental note of where the pit was, hoping she wouldn't fall back down it again in the future. But without light, trying to fix its position seemed impossible. Anya frowned. She had to find her way to the hidden tunnel that Gregor had discovered. That was probably where the creature had gone. And maybe it had taken Gregor with it. Anya shivered, thinking about Gregor being eaten or worse by the creature. The sooner she could find her way back to where she'd started, the better. Anya began moving forward slowly, running her hands along the floor of the cave. Anya's fingers brushed something smooth and small. She plucked it off the floor and held it closer to her face. Anya could smell the cordite and knew she'd found one of the shell casings from Gregor's gun. The casing was cold. Anya figured that meant she might have been unconscious for some time back in the pit. But then again, a shell casing wouldn't hold its heat once it was on the ground. Anya considered her options. She had no light, plus she had a concussion, although it did seem to be improving rapidly. She looked around, not really seeing much of anything in the darkness. The general, unfathomable depth of her surroundings unnerved her. She sensed the outline of the hidden tunnel, tracing it all the way to the ground. She had two choices: to go down the tunnel and see if she could find Gregor and whatever took him, or she could try to find her way out of the cave and back to the village. She pondered her situation. There was no guarantee that any of the villagers would help her, even in the daylight. She'd seen fear enough times to know they were all struck by it. The thought of hunting some unknown creature wouldn't sit well with them. No, if she was to get to the bottom of this, she would have to do it alone. There was nothing else she could do but press on. Anya moved into the opening. Anya reached forward, grasping the metallic object. It was about 4 inches long and cylindrical. Her fingers felt along the cylinder and found a switch. Anya looked down at Gregor's flashlight and smiled. He must have dropped it during the struggle with the creature. It was a good sign that he had definitely come this way. Anya looked around. The cave walls seemed to shrink for about 20 feet, and then beyond that, deeper darkness awaited her. She felt a cool breeze coming from somewhere down the tunnel. It was too bad he didn't leave her the gun, too. Anya stepped down the tunnel and made sure she shielded the light as much as she could. No sense alerting the creature that she was coming. Then she frowned. There was no telling what the creature was like. And if it was supernatural in origin, then maybe it had simply disappeared into thin air. No, she thought, that's impossible. She reached the end of the narrow part of the tunnel and passed into a much larger cavern. The air was warmer, and she relished the temperature change, suddenly aware of how much the cold had affected her. She flashed the red beam of light over the cavern. She was dismayed by what she saw. A dead end. Anya frowned. It couldn't be. There must be something that led out. How else could the creature have gotten Gregor out of the cave? Unless, she realized, they went out the front while she was unconscious. Anya knew that she wouldn't have known if they had left or not. She squatted down for a rest. She flashed the light along the wall in front of her. There seemed to be nothing there but more solid rock. She moved closer and began tracing her hands over the rocky walls. She refused to give up. She ran her fingers to the bottom of the wall, close to the ground. Suddenly, they sank into a small opening. She got down on her hands and knees and put her face close to the opening, trying to see beyond it. She saw only darkness. She turned her head and listened. Anya sat back, unable to figure out how to widen the opening. She used the flashlight to search for some kind of hidden catch release, but she didn't find anything that looked unnatural. Anya ran her fingers over a protruding section of the rock wall.
Mechanical?
As the wall slid away, a narrow tunnel was revealed behind it. The air beyond was much warmer, almost humid. Anya stepped into the tunnel and shined the light around. The passage stretched in front of her for at least 100 yards before it turned. Anya began moving carefully forward. The red light from Gregor's flashlight seemed to be waning. Anya took a final look ahead of her and then shut it off, trying to conserve some of its power. The warm air that surrounded her grew more humid and thick. She let her jacket flap open. Anya felt the tunnel begin to dip beneath her feet, and she steadied her footing, which began to feel different. Anya knelt down and ran her fingers along the floor of the tunnel and smiled when she touched dirt. Interesting. She switched the flashlight back on and saw that the walls were changing as well. Fewer rocks poked their way out of the walls. Roots seemed to stretch out like spindly tentacles from the hard-packed dirt walls. She surveyed the area ahead and saw that the tunnel started to ascend again. Anya froze as the sudden breeze passed over. It hadn't come from behind her, the way she'd come into the tunnel. It came from somewhere up ahead. The tunnel was about 8 feet across, and the distance between the sides of the walls wasn't big enough to permit many people in it at once. Someone was in the tunnel with her. Anya glanced behind her. To retrace her steps back to the cavern would take her too long. Plus, if she used the flashlight to see, she would alert whoever was behind her to her presence. She reached for her sword. Nothing. This is not good, she thought. The scent on the breeze was like a rotting corpse. Anya blanched and clamped her hand over her mouth to keep from retching in the silence. She had to get out of there. She pressed herself against the side of the tunnel, desperately looking for any kind of nook or cranny she could squeeze into. Instead, all she found were the coarse, thin roots draping down from the walls like a mass of greasy hair. Some of them were several inches thick, but others seemed as fine as thread. Whatever was with Anya in the cave was getting closer. Anya closed her eyes, visualizing the sword in front of her. She needed to be able to use it more than ever. She was dead without it. Sensing that the presence had passed her, Anya eased out of the veil of roots and tried to look down the tunnel, but nothing but darkness met her eyes. She looked in the direction she'd been heading. She needed to keep moving. Wherever the presence had gone, she needed to head in the opposite direction. She kept moving down the tunnel, intent on getting wherever it ended before the creature came back. Ahead of her, she thought she could see the barest amount of ambient light. The tunnel also started sloping down at an angle. The warm air grew more humid as well, and Anya could see in silhouette that the roots coming out of the walls were growing more numerous. At last, the tunnel seemed to end up ahead. Anya could make out the dim outline of what appeared to be a door. She pressed her head to the rough-hewn wood and listened. Anya looked back down the tunnel. The creature could come back at any moment. She had to get past this door. There was no doorknob, so she pushed on the door. Anya felt around the jamb and found a lip of wood she could pull on. Gray, dim light seeped into the tunnel. Anya's eyes blinked a few times and then adjusted to the light in spite of how little there was. She stepped through the doorway. It was a root cellar by the look of things. Old shelves contained bundles of drying herbs long since petrified and reduced to dust. Whoever owned the cellar hadn't used it for its original purpose in some time. The furniture looked old but recently used. Two heavy chairs sat by a table made from old planks of wood. The air smelled of musty dirt and decay, and something else. Blood. Anya moved beyond the table, steeling herself for another creature. Instead, she saw a body lying in a crumpled heap on the floor. Anya knelt and recognized Gregor's jacket.
Gregor.
Gregor shifted slightly, his eyes barely able to open from the crusty blood that caked them.
Anya?
Yes, it's me.
How did you find me?
I found the tunnel the creature took you down. It took me a while to find it, but I did.
Lucky for me.
What happened to you?
I fought it.
Khosadam?
Yes. It toyed with me until it got tired and then left.
Are you all right?
I was knocked unconscious.
But otherwise?
Nothing feels broken. Oh, but the pain is immense.
You probably got plenty of bruises.
No doubt.
Why did you fight it?
I don't believe in surrendering. Did you kill it?
No.
Where is it?
Gone, back down the tunnel.
You're sure?
It walked right past me.
And didn't see you?
I guess not.
You're a lucky woman, Anya Creed. I doubt many others would have been able to save themselves.
Maybe. We'll see how lucky I am once we get out of here. Do you have any idea how to get out?
When the thing brought me here, it proceeded to beat me up fairly thoroughly. But I thought I saw another door against the far wall over there by the shelves.
I'll check it out.
Stay quiet. That thing could come back at any time and kill us both.
I won't let that happen.
You have no gun.
You only left me the flashlight.
I was a bit preoccupied.
I guess so.
Anya went to the wall, whorls of dust spinning into the air as she moved. Anya ran her hands over it until she got close to the shelves.
I think there's something here where the shelves connect with the wall.
It's thick?
Yes, the shelves are built to conceal a door.
In that case, I suggest we leave.
It's heavy.
I may not be much help. I don't feel very good.
The doorway slowly opened before them. The dim light from the root cellar illuminated just a bit ahead of them, but there looked to be a smaller tunnel that led to a set of stairs at the far end.
That would appear to be our way out of here. I suggest we take it.
You want to leave?
Shh.
What?
Listen. It's coming back. Probably to finish me off. We have to get out of here.
Anya ran back across the root cellar. She slammed the door to the tunnel closed, then grabbed the heavy table beside it, dragging it in front of the door.
Maybe that will slow it down.
Anya!
Anya hurried over to Gregor, and they slid through the door into the side tunnel. The stairs were about 100 feet away.
Come on! You think it got through?
I don't know. We've got to get the hell out of here now! Up there!
Anya's eyes grew wide at what looked like part of the tunnel swung open about 50 feet in front of them. Something moved out into the tunnel.
Now what, Anya?
Back to the root cellar. It's our only hope. We can't fight it in the tunnel.
They ran back to the cellar, ducking through the doorway.
Block it, Gregor!
Gregor threw his weight against the door in the shelving unit, while Anya tried to see if there was anything else she could use to seal it shut. There was nothing.
I can't do this. I'm spent.
Get behind me.
What?
When it comes in, stay behind me. Do you understand?
Why? You can't handle that thing alone.
Just do what I say. Stay back there and don't do anything unless I say so.
You're crazy.
We've got another choice.
It's coming, Anya!
The shelves exploded as Khosadam entered the root cellar. Anya's heart pounded against the inside of her chest like a sledgehammer. The thing stood over 6 feet tall, its head stooped to avoid the low roof of the root cellar. Anya could see the long cords of muscle snaking their way through its body like suspension cables. Worn leather leggings and a tunic scarcely covered its body, and Anya wondered how it could survive the cold. On its face, however, was the most startling thing of all. A metallic half-mask muzzled the creature's jaw. It really was Khosadam. If Anya couldn't see the dim outline of breasts beneath the tunic, she might have suspected the creature was a male. Anya felt the hot breath of fetid air hit her face. It smelled as if the creature had been dining on fermenting garbage. It regarded Anya for a moment, almost curious that its roar hadn't caused the intruder to move.
Are you sure this is such a good idea?
Yeah, one of my best.
Khosadam weaved from side to side like a slow metronome marking its time. Anya stayed where she was and didn't move at all. If she did, she knew the creature might attack. But then again, she suspected the creature would attack her soon enough anyway. Clutching her sword tightly, Anya barely had time to duck as a wicked-looking claw slashed through the air. She stood and held the sword in front of her. The blade gave off a dull bit of light, and Khosadam suddenly backed up when it saw the sword.
What on earth?
I'll explain later.
Khosadam squatted lower and raised curved black nails that looked as sharp as Anya's blade. Then it came at her. Anya deflected the swipe with her blade, hoping she'd be able to cut the creature's hands off. The sword only made contact with the nails, which to Anya's horror didn't break under the assault. She ducked, just as another swipe cut through the air. Anya slashed out with her sword, but Khosadam ducked away. Then it immediately slashed back. Anya pivoted as the claw came down, trying her best to retract the blade and get it back in front of her where it could offer the most protection. Khosadam retreated again. It was very smart, Anya realized, and clearly used to fighting against skilled opponents. Khosadam kicked at Anya's midsection, catching her right in the solar plexus. She rolled over and came back up with the sword in front of her, just as Khosadam cut down at her again. Anya frowned. Did the creature have metallic claws? She came back up and immediately stabbed straight in at Khosadam's chest, but it jerked out of the path of the blade. As Anya tried to back away, it flicked its claw across Anya's cheek. She'd need to remember to get a rabies shot when she got back to New York. Khosadam came closer, as if seeing the blood had energized it. Anya could almost feel the creature's glee. Anya swept the sword blade up at an angle as the creature took another swipe at her. She felt the blade make contact, cleaving into Khosadam's left arm. There was a spurt of blood as the sword met flesh and bone. Khosadam reared back and held its wounded arm. Blood continued to jet from the wound. With its free hand, the creature tore off the muzzle, and Anya saw the gaping maw lined with pointed teeth. But they weren't white. They gleamed in the dim light. Their metallic points flew together as Khosadam brought the upper and lower rows together in a tight chomp. Khosadam reared, then leaped right at Anya. It landed feet first, shoving the flat of the blade into Anya's chest. Khosadam came closer. Anya tried to roll, but as she did, the creature stomped down on the sword, trapping it underneath Anya's hand. Anya let go of the blade and completed her roll. Khosadam leaped on top of her again. Anya stared up into the metal jaws of the beast. The wounded arm leaked blood all over her, and Anya struggled to keep from retching from the horrible stench of Khosadam's breath. The weight of the creature seemed impossible to hold at bay. Anya had its arms pushed back at the shoulders, but she could feel the thing leaning in with even more weight. Anya brought her legs up and in, trying to get her knees to her chest. She kicked them out, launching Khosadam back and off her. It stumbled back, crashing into the wall of the cellar. Khosadam's head snapped towards her.
No!
Anya caught the side of Khosadam's jaw with her fist. Her hand exploded in pain, like she'd just punched an I-beam. Khosadam's entire jaw seemed forged out of steel. Anya let her hand go limp by her side. Khosadam swung toward her, seeing that Anya now had a useless limb as well. It raised its wounded arm. As Khosadam came at her, Anya whipped her right leg up and out in a high arc that caught the creature on the side of its neck. As she retracted her leg, the creature moved in and headbutted Anya in the forehead. Anya's eyes immediately filled with tears and her vision vanished. Khosadam jumped on top of her again. Anya crashed back to the floor. Anya felt a rib crack as the full weight of the creature came down on top of her. Every breath felt like a hot lance was being plunged into her body. Khosadam leaned in, its teeth searching for Anya's head. Anya's good hand scrambled for anything she could use. She came up with a fistful of dirt. The creature reared back, and Anya bucked her hips and dislodged it. She rolled and came to her feet. Khosadam wiped the dirt from its eyes. Khosadam leaped through the air again, aiming its good claw at Anya's midsection. Anya pivoted, and as Khosadam's claw shot through the space, Anya shot her fist into the creature's throat. Anya turned the point of her blade downwards and plunged it straight into the side of the creature, running it in deep. She felt the blade come to a stop in the floor.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
You're injured.
I was a few minutes ago, but now it doesn't seem to hurt that much.
Give me your hand. Does this hurt?
No.
Nothing is broken. Perhaps you only strained it when you punched the beast in its head.
Parts of that head are made out of metal.
Not exactly a recipe for the supernatural, I suppose.
No, but it does raise some other questions. Like, who the hell made this thing?
You think it was made?
Look at the claws. They've been discolored to look blackened, but they're metal as well. That could have sliced me open if I hadn't been careful.
You were extremely skilled in the fight. I was very impressed with your fighting ability.
I'll bet.
And that sword, where did that come from?
I don't know.
You don't know?
It's something that started showing up a while back. I don't know where it is or how it gets here. It does seem to pop out at moments when I need it most.
Well, it certainly happened to be here at the right time. Lucky for both of us, huh?
Yes.
Your ribs. I thought I heard something crack.
You've got good ears.
I saw the beast land on top of you a number of times. It was a lot of weight to support.
Souvenir for me, I guess. A reminder over the next few weeks when I'm unable to sleep that I left my ribs in Siberia.
What do we do with this creature? Take it with us to show the villagers?
I don't think I feel up to dragging it several miles through deep snow, and I bet you don't either.
So we leave it here, then?
I guess so.
And how do we get out of here?
Through that secret door. May as well see where the steps at the far end of the tunnel lead. Who knows? If we're really lucky, maybe we'll find another Khosadam to play with.
Sometimes I do not understand the American sense of humor.
That makes two of us. Shall we go?
You're sure it's dead, right?
No pulse that I can find.
And we're done with the whole supernatural story, aren't we?
Definitely.
Then let's get out of here.
Anya rose and walked through the secret doorway into the tunnel. Ahead of them, they could still see the open side door that must have connected the tunnel leading from the cavern.
Never hurts to have a couple of egress points.
It almost caught us unawares, though. I could have done without being surprised like that.
Stairs.
Shall we see where they go?
We shouldn't just go rushing up them. They could be booby-trapped.
Anya cocked an eyebrow. She wasn't keen on wasting time looking for traps, but on the other hand, Gregor did have a point. And surprise had plagued them on this trip already. No sense repeating the same mistakes.
All right, but you'll have to take point. I have no idea what I'm looking for when it comes to that stuff.
I'll need my flashlight again.
Be careful. I think the batteries are starting to run down.
You wasted all the power.
Someone had to find you in the dark, buddy. You're lucky I even bothered at all.
Gregor switched the flashlight on. He knelt down by the lowest tread and peered up under it.
This one looks clear.
You have to do this for every one of them?
Yes.
Staying down in the dark with the body of Hossadam didn't make Anya feel comfortable at all. She had no idea exactly what it was they were dealing with. She'd seen enough bad horror flicks to know that creatures usually came back to life, even when they were supposed to be very dead.
Second is clear.
Anya watched Gregor work. He dragged his right leg onto each stair as the other braced most of his weight. The beast had hurt him fairly badly. She glanced back down the tunnel. The dim light seemed to have waned since the battle with the creature. Darkness bled into the tunnel they were in, blotting out features and anything Anya could use as a reference point.
It's getting darker.
What?
It seems like it's getting darker.
Looks the same to me.
Gregor turned back to the stairs and flashed the light under another tread. Anya stared down the tunnel. She could almost picture the body of Hossadam starting to twitch back in the root cellar. She could imagine it stirring as the evil that had lived in it came back to life, making the beast shudder and sit upright. Then it would give a gasp, get to its feet, and start for the door. Anya closed her eyes.
I'll be right back.
Where are you going?
I need to see something.
Anya!
Anya was moving back down the tunnel toward the root cellar. As she did, the darkness around her grew deeper. Her heart pounded in her chest. Ahead of her, she could make out the dim outline of the secret door. She knew she would have to clear the shelves first and make sure she had a good bead on Hossadam's head. Decapitating it just might be the most effective way to destroy it once and for all. Unless it was already alive and waiting for her to return. Around Anya, the darkness felt almost palpable. She half expected to be able to reach out and grab a handful of it. She glanced back at Gregor, hard at work, halfway up the stairs now. Was there something else at work here? Or was it just her own imagination conjuring up this stuff? The stress of losing Bob, combined with the superstitious folklore of this area, had really gotten her twisted inside. She shook her head and looked at the doorway ahead of her. All she had to do was push through it, draw the sword, and finish Hossadam once and for all. 10 feet from the door, Anya slowed, willing herself to move as quietly as possible. She flushed her system with oxygen, knowing that in combat her muscles would eat through the fresh air faster than when they were resting. Anya could almost see Hossadam rising up on the other side of the door. Anya looked in. Hossadam's body lay still on the floor. Anya slumped over. Hot tears flowed from her eyes, staining her face as they rolled down, only to fall and be swallowed by the dry dirt on the floor of the cellar. Anya looked up at the corpse. There'd been too much death here, she decided. Too much heartache. She needed to go home.
Are you all right?
Anya looked up. Gregor stood in the doorway, his flashlight in one hand, and concern clearly evident on his face.
I thought there might be some trouble.
Yeah, I'm okay now.
Why did you come back here?
I thought this thing might still be alive. I didn't want it sneaking up on us.
You thought there might be some truth in those folk tales after all, huh?
I guess so.
Considering where we are, it's pretty easy to imagine, isn't it? Surrounded by all this superstition. I suppose it's difficult not to fall under its spell.
I'm done with it now. This isn't some kind of undead goddess. It's flesh and blood. And I killed it.
You're ready to go, then, huh?
Wait a minute.
Anya looked around on the floor and scooped up Hosadam's brank. She stared down at the metal object, a hardened look setting on her face.
All set.
You're bringing that with you?
I think it's an important reminder of what happened here.
Maybe you can convince the villagers that there's no danger any longer from it. Then they'll get back to their lives. It could be a good thing.
I've got more questions I'd like to see answered before I hold this overhead as a trophy.
Stairs are clear. I didn't find any traps. We can leave now, Anya.
Anya smiled at Gregor, then looked around one final time. The corpse remained exactly where it had fallen after the battle. There was no danger here any longer. Anya followed Gregor out of the secret doorway and into the tunnel. His limp was less pronounced now.
Your leg is better?
It seems to be.
What do you think it was?
Hosadam? I don't really know. Some sort of village idiot gone mad? An escapee from a mental prison? Hell, it could have been a descendant of someone who worked in the mines. Perhaps they escaped and came out here to live in the forest.
And the metal jaws and claws?
I have no idea. The truth is, there are plenty of things it could be. Before the end of communism, there were plenty of bizarre experiments going on with the government's tacit approval. That was before my time, obviously, but you still hear rumors of this stuff.
I suppose.
You want me to go first, or you?
I'll take it. You sure they're clear?
I'll be right behind you. If there's some type of trap, we'll both be killed.
That's comforting.
What I mean is, yes, they're clear. I'm staking my life on it, obviously.
Anya started up the stairs. The aged wooden steps bent noticeably as she shifted her weight on them one after another. In the dim light, Anya could see that they ended at what appeared to be another door. Shafts of light outlined the door. She looked back at Gregor.
You saw the door?
Yes.
Where do you think we are?
No idea. Maybe a cabin in the woods. The tunnels are long, though. Perhaps there's a hunting lodge built into the side of the mountain.
Do you think we should go through the door hard?
I hadn't thought of that.
You're much different now than you were when we met a few days back.
Well, that was a role.
And this is the real you?
Yeah. Maybe.
All right. Let's be cautious in our approach, then.
Sounds good.
Anya turned back to the staircase and crept up the final steps. The door grew in size until she felt certain it was a regular size. Anya held up her hand to warn Gregor. He patted the back of her leg, signaling he understood. Anya peered at the door. The lit outline of the door was interrupted by shadows passing in front of it. There was someone on the other side of the door, that was certain. Anya eased her weight over to the outside edges of the stairs, knowing they would support her body weight better and be less likely to creak out a warning. Sweat had broken out along her hairline. She was nervous again. The air felt warmer here as well. In stark contrast to how cold she'd been back down in the cave, Anya now wanted to shed her jacket. She could feel Gregor's body heat behind her. His attention seemed focused on the door as well. She looked back at him and raised her eyebrows. He nodded. It was time. Anya let her hand go to where she imagined a doorknob would be. She was rewarded when she felt the cool, rusted metal in her hand. She rested her hand lightly on it, and then placed the other about 6 inches higher. She was ready. Anya shoved her way into the bright light, rapidly blinking her eyes to acclimate them as she did so. Behind her, she felt Gregor rushing into the room. A series of images registered as she took stock of the room. A table, a wood-burning stove churning out plenty of heat, and in a rickety old wooden chair, someone sat with their back to the door.
Don't move!
Gregor looked at her with a funny expression. Anya shrugged. It was the best she could think of. The figure seated at the table lifted his hands from the tabletop.
I mean you no harm.
Father Jakob?
Yes.
What in the world are you doing here?
Is she dead?
Yes.
I suppose it was inevitable.
You knew?
Yes.
And after all the trouble she caused, you still...
Refuse to tell anyone, yes. I am guilty of these things. I know this. Please, sit down.
I'll stand, thank you. You've got a lot of blood on your hands, Father. And I think you'd better start by telling us exactly what the hell is going on here.
I will.
Father Jakob got up from his seat. Gregor backed up and looked at Anya, but she only shrugged. Father Jakob looked old and frail, and she had a hard time imagining him being much of a threat to anyone. He took a kettle off the stovetop and got two mugs from his cupboard.
You'll be wanting some of this, I expect. You were down there for a long time. It can't have been easy for you.
Where are we?
In the back of my church. You're back in the village.
We traveled underground back to the village?
Yes.
So that's how the creature was able to get here without anyone seeing it.
She had a name, you know. At one time, anyway. Please, do sit.
Anya took a sip of the coffee. It went down hot, but tasted good. She suddenly realized she was ravenous as well, but didn't think it was the right time to ask Father Jakob to cook them a meal. She took the brank out of her pocket and slid it across the table in front of the priest.
You'll want this back.
I found this in the basement of this church, you know. It's very old. I have no idea who it might belong to or what its purpose might have been.
I think you figured its purpose out well enough. It's a brank, meant to be a type of muzzle.
So, my instinct was correct. I found her about 20 years ago.
That long? You've had her here with you all that time?
Yes.
And no one ever knew about it?
Regrettably, a few did find out about her, but they never lived to tell anyone.
You killed them?
Not me. She did.
Where did you find her?
In the mountains. She was naked and freezing, and I took pity on her. When she was still able to speak, she told me she'd escaped from a medical laboratory on the outskirts of Kolyma. At first, I didn't believe her. But then she showed me some of what they did to her. And then I believed her.
She showed you the claws?
Indeed. She'd been surgically altered. That, along with her teeth. It was horrifying for me, and yet, at the same time, I felt compelled to help her. I don't know if it was compassion or simply pity on the poor creature that she'd been reduced to.
I've heard rumors of what they used to do to gifted children.
And they're true, my boy.
But what was she supposed to become? There must have been some purpose for altering her the way they did.
She did have a purpose. And when she told me what it was, I nearly died from fright.
What was it?
The Soviet Union wanted to create a soldier that could be self-sustaining.
What do you mean, self-sustaining?
She was meant to be a cannibal.
A cannibal?
The goal, at least according to what she told me, was to reduce the need for rations by soldiers. If they could live off the remains of the battlefield dead, then they could go farther faster than conventional troops.
What sick bastard came up with that idea?
Who knows? The idea isn't necessarily out of the realm of consideration. After all, toward the end of the Cold War, the Soviet Union was beginning to go bankrupt. Perhaps the powers that be decided that rations were a concept they could do without.
An army's got to eat.
Indeed. But if they could remove the cost of rations from the war budget, then the country would have that much more money to spend elsewhere. I don't claim to understand it, but from what she told me, that's what they thought would be good.
Insane. The world is completely insane.
Well, we can be comforted by the thought that those people who did that to the creature no longer exist. I think we'd all agree that we're much safer without them around.
Absolutely. You are injured, young man?
Just a bit of a twinge. Nothing too serious.
Why did you hide her for so long?
I'd hoped to wean her off human flesh. When I found her, she tried to bite my arm off.
You're joking.
Father Jakob rolled up his sleeve. Anya and Gregor peered closer and could see the half-circle of tooth mark scars on his skin.
That was 20 years ago.
She should have been able to bite right through your arm, considering she had metallic teeth.
I was wearing about 8 layers of clothes at the time I found her. She did her best, but my jacket stopped her. Instead, I got the pressure wounds from her teeth. I was very lucky.
So you brought her here?
I kept her down there in the cellar.
But she could come and go as she pleased.
I had no idea there was another door out of the cellar. Imagine my horror the night I brought down her supper only to find she was gone. I was out of my mind with fear.
But she came back.
She had to. There was no other place for her to go. And there was no one she would trust to keep her safe and hidden.
When did she start to kill?
I used the brank there for a little bit. I was trying to keep her from wanting to eat. And I fed her as well as I was able to, given my lowly means. Sometimes I took to digging through the trash of the cafe for their bits of food.
It didn't work?
Oh, I thought it did. She showed signs of being able to keep herself under control. But then she would strike out in a rage. I have no idea what they must have done to that poor young girl.
She would have eaten me, wouldn't she?
Most likely. You're in good shape, strong, and still young. She would derive the most energy from you, I believe. There was the third member of your party, the one you called Bob.
He's dead.
Did she...
No, we were ambushed by 2 men who worked for the Mafia. Bob died trying to fight them off.
I'm truly sorry. Where is his body?
Back in the mountains, in a cave. We need to make plans to get it out.
Then we should be grateful this day is at last finished.
It was a nightmare.
One that is now over. Although, truth be told, I'm not sure if I'm relieved or heartbroken. I strongly suspect I came to view the creature almost like my own child. And now that she's gone...
There are plenty of people who will want to know all about this.
Would you give me 2 days? I'd very much like to bury her. At least give her something dignified in terms of a burial. After that, I know I'll have some questions to answer.
2 days, Father. That's it.
Thank you, Gregor. Here, Anya, I would like for you to take the brank.
What's this for?
You're an archaeologist, right?
Yes.
Take this. As I told you, it's very old. Perhaps older than I know. It might help make up for your loss if you are able to find out something of its history.
I think Bob would like that.
I will see you out, if you don't mind leaving through the front door.
Better than trekking back down the tunnels. I'm not sure my leg would hold up.
It bothers you that much?
Just enough to be a nuisance and slows me down some. I'll be fine once I get a hot bath and a good night's sleep.
I am sorry that I had to kill her.
I know you would not have done so unless you had absolutely no choice. I was a damned fool to try and keep her alive or think I could make her normal again. I don't know that anything was possible considering what they did to her.
You had to try. You're a man of the cloth. If you don't try to help people, then who will?
Who indeed?
Anya and Gregor hurried down the steps as snow pelted them again.
Another storm?
We're in snow country. It is unavoidable.
I'm going to a tropical island when I get home. I'm already sick to death of all this white stuff.
You think there might be room for a friend to tag along with you?
After all of this, do you really want to spend more time with me?
I've been known to do crazier things.
So now I count among the crazy things in your life.
A woman with a sword that appears from thin air. I think you definitely count.
Anya turned back into the wind. She knew he had a point. Down the street from the church, few lights shone in the houses. Gregor and Anya made their way back to the hotel.
Who is it?
Gregor and Anya, open up.
Come in, quickly.
Anya and Gregor stood just inside the door, stamping their feet and shaking out of their jackets. The innkeeper looked at them.
Why on earth are you out after dark?
We didn't have much of a choice.
Yes, but that thing is out there.
Khosadam?
Yes.
Here is what you are going to do, my friend. You will set a hot bath for me and one for my companion. You will then tell your wife to cook us up a hearty meal, and make sure you have tea and juice as well.
You've seen it! You've seen the creature!
We have.
And you lived to be here!
We're here. Obviously we weren't killed.
What's it like?
It's dead.
You killed it! You brave, brave man, you did it! You have rid us all of the beast!
Not me. Her.
The girl?
The woman, and yes, I did.
Ha! Amazing!
I take it you guys don't have a lot of strong female role models, Gregor.
I think Ras Adam was our first.
Forgive me for my ignorance. I will do my best to make sure you eat like never before. And you will have your baths, both of you.
You know, we could save time and water if we shared the bath.
A nice try, Casanova, but don't count on it.
It was just a thought.
A bad one.
There's something else, my friend.
Anything, dear sir.
There are some bodies up in the caves on the mountains. They will need to be recovered.
Did they fall victim to the beast?
No, to organized crime.
I do not understand.
The two men who were here last night, Yuri and Oleg, they worked for the Mafia. They followed us out today and hunted us down. They were trying to get this village to sell itself to their gang, which would then exploit the natural resources in this area.
I had no idea.
Neither did we.
And the third member of your party?
He's dead. And I want him brought back here for a proper funeral.
I will see to it that some of the men from the village recover the bodies. You have my word.
In that case, I'm going upstairs to have that hot bath.
I thought I was going first.
Creature killers get first dibs. See you down here for dinner.
By the time Anya got back down to the dining room, she felt much better. The hot bath and change of clothes made her feel almost human again. And while the loss of Bob still weighed on her mind, she felt somewhat better knowing that his body would be cared for at first light. Anya watched Gregor enter the room from the big chair nearest the fireplace and nursed the glass of red wine she was drinking.
Pull up a chair.
Gregor sat opposite her, and the innkeeper brought him a glass of iced vodka. Gregor touched his glass to Anya's.
Here's to life.
Sometimes overrated.
You think?
Considering what we do to each other, yes. But I suppose there's room enough left on this planet for a bit of hope as well.
I've seen plenty of examples of evil in my time. And there have been times when others might have considered me an emissary of those same forces.
But?
But I think it's possible to turn over a new leaf, if you're so inclined.
Is that what you're planning to do? Turn over a new leaf?
I'm thinking about it.
I've known men like you before.
Men like me? What's that supposed to mean?
Strong, rugged, handsome. But as much as they claimed they wanted desperately to leave behind what they were, they couldn't.
No?
No. Because what they wanted to leave behind was what made them who they were in the first place. And that's not being true to yourself, now is it?
Perhaps.
No perhaps about it. You can't put down what it is that makes you tick. You might want to. You might enjoy telling people you are, but at the end of the day, when you're all alone in your bed and the minutes tick by on your clock, you'll always come back to your base nature.
You say it like it's unavoidable.
Maybe it is.
You don't strike me as the kind of woman who believes much in predestination.
I never did before.
But?
But things change. And lately I think I've been wondering if maybe we are really locked into our paths from the moment we're born.
That doesn't do a lot to support the notion of free choice.
No, it doesn't.
We don't have to talk about it if you don't want to. I was only making conversation.
I know. Sorry. I'm still upset about Bob.
You weren't lovers?
No, just friends.
He respected you, though. That much was very evident.
And I respected him. But there you go. We were close friends, and now he's gone.
Sometimes there is comfort in knowing that you have vanquished the killer of a friend.
If you say so.
It might interest you to know that I entered the intelligence services with only the noblest ideals in mind.
Doesn't every kid who plays war enter the military with the same sentiments?
Very possibly.
So what makes you different?
I entered because my entire family was killed, and I had nowhere else to go.
Gregor, I'm so sorry.
Forget it. It's ancient history.
How did they die?
Chechen rebels ambushed my family as they drove south for vacation. I was at school at the time, but my mother, father, and little brother, they were all gunned down in cold blood.
That must have destroyed you.
And they say that true character is forged in the fire of tragedy. I think that's what happened to me. The anger welled up within me and caused me to develop myself as much as I possibly could. I entered the military first and then the intelligence services. I volunteered for the most suicidal missions they had. I carried out all sorts of covert operations that no one would ever take responsibility for.
What happened?
I hunted the men who had killed my family. I hunted them down and killed every last one of them. I'm not proud of what I did. I'll have to live with the consequences of my actions for the rest of my life. I've made peace with that, though.
And with the death of your family?
I tracked the last one down to a demolished old warehouse on the outskirts of some dump of a city. He was hiding up on the second floor. He knew who I was and why I was there. Word had spread that I was coming for him.
The other deaths would have alerted him, I suppose.
I felt like the angel of death. I strode into the warehouse like I was invincible. He shot at me, but the bullets never seemed to touch me. And when he dropped his magazine and fumbled for a new one, I grabbed him around the throat and lifted him onto a meat hook. He didn't die right away. I made sure of that. I did horrible things to him that night. Things I won't ever speak of again. And do you think I'm a monster?
I think you were hurting.
Indeed. When it was finally over, and I sat there, drenched in sweat and the blood of my last victim, I slumped into a puddle of filth and cried. I cried for hours. I felt every last vestige of who I had become fade slowly away.
What happened?
I returned and was promoted. But I changed. I'd rid myself of the demons that drove me to do those awful things. I became a better agent because of it.
And now?
And now I'm here.
You're an interesting man, Gregor.
I am indeed. Perhaps you will get to know me a little better sometime. Huh?
Rogue Angel is continued on the next CD.